Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jordan McLean, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Before we get off into this show, each and every week, y'all know how I gotta start. Thank you so very much for all the support and all the love that you guys have shown the podcast and me. We're 7 weeks in, and I'm still floored by the support that I get. You know, if you guys knew how scared I was to start this podcast before I actually done it, and if you guys know the thought and the love that went into it, you would understand why I feel the way I do. But I cannot thank you guys enough. You know, you listening to this right now, you are helping me live my dream. So thank you guys so very much. Be sure to follow the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. It's available on most DSPs, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Wherever you're listening to it, there should be a follow or subscribe button somewhere. Make sure you hit that button so that you do not miss any episodes of the podcast. Also, if you want, make sure to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McLean. I love talking all things wrestling. Whatever you want to talk about, hit me up. Let's talk about it. I may even talk about it here on the show like I'm going to do this week. Once again, thank you guys so much for all the love and support. I cannot thank you guys enough for helping me achieve my goals and helping me live my dream. It means the world to me. I'll never be able to thank you guys enough for helping me out. Now, let's jump into the show. So this week, I've been struggling, y'all. Imposter syndrome, if you don't know what it is, look it up. Imposter syndrome is a motherfucker, man. It really is. And if I suffer from imposter syndrome sometimes, I know a lot of you guys, a lot of you independent wrestlers who listen to this show, you probably suffer from it too. I'm not going to get too spiritual on y'all because, you know, everybody is not of the same faith as I am. But I can tell you that this week, I have gotten more signs from God, the universe, whatever you would like to call it, the higher power, the one, whatever. I have gotten more signs from him, her, they, it, than I've ever gotten this week. And they have been clear-cut signs. Two words that have kept showing up this week in my life: keep going. When you're in this world of entertainment, when you're in this world where competition is the norm, even if you're the nicest person on the face of the planet, you're the sweetest person, you're the kindest, you have such a good heart, if you are in this game, you are in competition with other people. And it's so easy to look at other people and say, damn, I'm not as good as him. I'm not on that level. Damn, that dude's fire. Damn, I tried that move and I couldn't do it. And that dude makes it look so fucking easy. You know, damn, that dude is getting this opportunity, that opportunity. He's, you know, signing with MLW. He's signing the AEW. He's on AEW Dark for the fifth time. He's on NXT. He, you know, 205 Live, whatever. Whatever the case is. I go through that shit too. I do. And more importantly, I go through those feelings of, damn, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough, man. My product isn't the quality that it needs to be. I'm that person that's always in my own head about something. Here's a little secret. I don't listen to these podcasts after I record them and post them, I don't listen to them. I refuse to. Because then I start critiquing myself, picking apart every single little thing that I can possibly pick apart until the point where I don't even want to be a part of anything that I've just done. I don't want to keep going. But this week, I have gotten the message loud and clear multiple times from multiple people, including myself. I had a Facebook post from 2 years ago pop up in my memories just this morning that said, keep going. Keep following your dreams. Don't give up on yourself. And because I felt that message in my heart, I thought that that's how I would start this show off this week. This week we're talking GCW Slime Season. And it was a fantastic show. Obviously, you're going to hear my thoughts in full. But there's people on this show that I remember seeing a year ago. There are people on this show that I remember watching when they first came into the business and paying attention to them, seeing where they are now. They kept going. And I know I get a lot of independent wrestlers who listen to this show who you may be local to your area and that's it. Maybe you haven't gotten the big break like on a GCW or MLW or anything of that nature. And you may be sitting back saying, you know, is it worth it? Can I do it? Can I keep going? Man, this is stupid. I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to... Shut all that shit up and keep going. Shut all that shit up and keep going. Because regardless of what the next man or the next woman is doing, nobody can do what you do. Nobody can bring what you bring to the table. So get out of your own head. Stop looking at yourself and telling yourself that you are not good enough, that you are not worthy, that you don't have the skill, you don't have the apparatus, you don't have whatever it is that you think you're lacking. Get out of your fucking head. If there is something that you don't have and you can get it, get it. If you know you need to hit the gym more, hit the fucking gym. If you know you need to work on your promo, stand in front of the mirror and instead of telling yourself that you are not good enough, cut a fucking promo about how good you are. Get out of your head. Keep your head up and keep going. Okay, so I had other plans. I knew for a fact that I wanted to talk about GCW Slime Season. But I had another show that I also wanted to talk about in here in episode 7. But I watched GCW Slime Season. And that all changed. This show was so phenomenal that I called an audible and I said that I wanted to dedicate strictly episode 7 to GCW Slime Season. It's available as of this recording. It's available right now for free on YouTube. Now, going into this show, I was only aware of one match on the show. I intentionally avoided any knowledge of any other matches on this show. I wanted to just, you know, sometimes when you have a podcast, because although this is fun and this is what I love to do, to an extent, this is also work. So when you have a podcast or something of that nature, you want to do your research, you know, search up on everybody. But the good thing about this podcast in particular is that I can go into a show completely blind and find my new favorite independent wrestler or, you know, my one of my favorite moments of the year or whatever. This show was no different. You are getting, I literally just turned the show off and pressed record on my phone. So you are getting my initial thoughts. I wrote notes and everything, but you are getting my true, raw, initial thoughts of this show. This was a huge show. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to get off into absolutely everything on this show. And that's what we're going to do. There's no other real way to put it. So let's just jump into it, man. First up, we've got Jordan Oliver taking on Chris Bay. This match started as expected. It was fast-paced and it was back and forth. And watching these two wrestle is, I would say, the equivalent of watching a hot knife slide through butter. They worked so ridiculously well together. And they are, honestly, Jordan Oliver and Chris Bay are probably two of the most impressive wrestlers in the business today. This was also a well-rounded matchup. You know, we got that fast-paced offense, but there were portions of this match that were mat-based and very technical. I love that Jordan Oliver was in this match sort of as the underdog. You know, he had those heavy comeback moments in this match. For example, one of my favorite spots was him jumping over the top rope to give Chris Bay a cutter. It was quick, efficient, and it was awesome to see. Chris Bay, who I personally think is one of the best wrestlers on the planet, showed some crazy offense as well, with things like the apron DDT early in the match and the winning moment of the match, which was a springboard crucifix driver. He hit that thing so clean and made it look so easy. These two men, I think, have some of the brightest futures in the wrestling business. They're already doing major things, and from my research, if my research was done correctly, they've both only been in the business for about 4 years. Both of them are in their early 20s, and they're already on a hot streak. You know, Chris Bay and Jordan Oliver are signed to Impact Wrestling and MLW, respectively. They flowed well together. Even with the big spots, it wasn't overkill or drawn out in this match. And overall, I think it was a fantastic opening contest. And I believe it really set the tone and set the bar for this show. If this is how GCW is always giving it up, not just with this match, but with this whole show, because I'm going to have a marking out moment later. If this is consistently GCW, GCW has a fan for life. Next up, second matchup, we've got Sefa Fatu making his GCW debut, taking on Facade. I've seen a lot of Sefa because his family, collectively known as the Samoan Dynasty, I'm a huge fan of. His brothers, the Usos, are one of my favorite tag teams of all time. His father, Rikishi, I loved during the Attitude Era, one of my favorite wrestlers of the Attitude Era, so I'm well aware of who he is. If I had to use one word to describe this particular match, it would be explosive. Every move in this match from both men was precise and explosive. A lot of this match was a showcase for Sefa, but Facade got some crazy good offense in. He got off a springboard cutter on Sefa that was, it was so clean. He hit it so clean. His striking, Facade's striking was a thing of beauty. And I felt like he used it really well against Sefa, who was obviously in this match the bigger, stronger opponent. Ultimately, Sefa picked up the big time win. Overall, this was a super solid match. And I'll say this now, okay? Hold me to it. I'll say it right now. We'll see Sefa sign somewhere to an exclusive contract within the next 3 years, if that's what he wants to do. He's so damn good, and he's consistently growing. Every time I see a Sefa Fatu match, he has gotten better. A lot of wrestlers, especially a lot of wrestlers who are young in their career, they can get stagnant kind of early. Sefa has grown immensely every single time that I've seen him wrestle. And with his lineage, with his name alone, not like he's fantastic by himself, but then you add the name, the bloodline to it, it's only a matter of time before somebody snaps him up. It's only a matter of time. Next up, we've got Matthew Justice taking on Jacob Fatu. Again, Fatu and Fatu, much like I said about Sefa, Jacob is fantastic. I think Jacob is currently signed with MLW. He is their world heavyweight champion. Sefa is destined for major things as well. Right off the bat, I want to say that he looks fantastic. He's been in good shape, but you can tell, I think they even made it a point to say it on commentary, that Jacob, over quarantine, has lost about 25 pounds. And he looks fantastic. Again, much like Sefa, he's intense and explosive. But Matthew Justice showed some outstanding strength and explosiveness of his own and kept up with him. This is the first time that I've seen a lot of these wrestlers. And Matthew Justice being one of them, he kept up with Jacob Fatu great. This match felt more like a fight than a wrestling match. You know, weapons were involved, and this was the first match of the show where weapons had gotten involved and everything like that. This felt like the match that took it up a notch. The first two matches, while great, while fantastic, this felt like the match that had really beaten the bar that Chris Bay and Jordan Oliver had set up. This was the match that took it up a notch, by and large. Jacob Fatu took a fucking Death Valley driver from the top rope onto a steel chair. Like, what? What in the fuck? What the hell? Matthew Justice kicked out at one after a Samoan drop through a door. Again, I ask, what in the fuck? This match was insane. I'm telling you, this match was insane. It finally ended with that beautiful moonsault from Jacob Fatu. Y'all know I've talked about it before when I talked about MLW. I think Jacob Fatu's moonsault is one of the most beautiful finishers in wrestling today. I think he probably has one of the most beautiful and accurate moonsaults in wrestling history. It's so good. There's nothing really to talk about in this match as far as technicality or skill or anything like that goes. This was a fight straight up and down. Honestly, I had to take a break after this match. I had no choice because this match was just so damn crazy. I had to take me a break. So now we're moving into what is known in GCW as the clusterfuck. We get Jimmy Lloyd, Matt Vandegrift, Damian Drake, Eli Everfly, KTB, and Nate Webb. Now let's take a deep breath, because y'all know what my initial thought is. It's a multi-man match. I've talked about it a couple times on this show already. Let me tell you, though, why I'm okay with this multi-man match. the name of it. GCW leans into this madness and called this match the Clusterfuck. Identifying a clusterfuck as a clusterfuck makes me a little more okay with the match being a clusterfuck. Does that make sense? They know it's crazy and it's designed to be crazy, and they're totally cool with that. They embrace the crazy. Maybe this match made me think, maybe that's my issue with multi-man matches. I go into it expecting something that's just not gonna happen. I don't know. I also think the momentum from that previous match carried over into this match. So, and all that adrenaline from that crazy match carried over. So I really just wanted to continue to see the action and see madness. KTB wins in the clusterfuck. One of my final notes for this match is go watch this crazy shit. Next up, we've got Mance Warner taking on Atticus Kogar. Mance Warner is as crazy as his moniker gives him, the Southern Psychopath. So you knew this match was going to at some point get crazy. Mance Warner is one of my favorite wrestlers as well. I loved him before I even had any interaction with him, but earlier this year at New South Hoss Tournament, I had a moment with Mance Warner. And it was a moment that the fan in me, the fan that's been in me since 1998, has always adored. And it wasn't like a big thing. I didn't help him in the match or anything. It was just his simply acknowledging me standing there as a fan. He, like I said, he was already one of my favorites before that moment. But that moment really solidified Mance Warner as one of my favorite wrestlers. And even with the craziness of this match is it got crazier as time went on. I think that this was the start of a good cool down for the show. You know, after this match, we had just had two insanely intense matches. So this match was a little more toned down, not a lot, because Mance Warner, but I think that this show needed that. I think that it was the beginning of a good balance. This was my first time seeing Atticus Kogar, and I really liked what I saw of him. They mentioned on commentary that he was considered the Prince of Death Matches, which then made sense as to why I would not have seen him. I'm not a deathmatch fan. I have nothing but the utmost respect for guys who are deathmatch wrestlers. I have nothing but respect for people who like watching deathmatches. It's not my thing. I have a rough time with hardcore matches. I have a rough time with blood. I have a rough time with all the crazy shit that can go on in death matches. So that would explain why I did not know who he was prior to this show. And he did more than enough in this match to make me realize that I should not watch him in those moments. He's fantastic, but I can't do it. The death match, I can't do it. This match ended after a big DDT through a door. Mance Warner picked up the W. You know, I really enjoy Mance because Mance comes off as if he really loves what he does. He comes off as a guy who is really content with his place on indie wrestling. He's at the top of the food chain as far as I'm concerned. If Mance Warner is on your card, expect it to be a damn good match. Yeah, he just seems like he's content. I would love to see him on a larger scale. But I think he's content where he is. And I don't blame him. I love him where he is. Although I would love to see him on that, like I said, that bigger scale, I would be too worried that anyone who signed him would end up watering him down. So I'm good with where he is. Next up, following that match, we have... Listen, I'm country and y'all know this. I keep saying it. I'm country. Some stuff I just can't pronounce. Kikataru. Kikataru? Okay. I'm going to go with that. Kikataru is taking on Alley Cat. So, on paper, this match looks very strange. But in retrospect, this was the match that we needed as the cool down. It was funny as all hell. It was entertaining as hell. There is not... I did not really take any notes for this match. I was too busy laughing. And up to this point... The show had been pretty serious. So I think that this match done a great job of really being a cool down match, really kind of taking some of the hype and out of the atmosphere and kind of grounding everybody again. This whole match was hilarious. I was dying laughing throughout this match. I'm not even going to tell y'all anything that happened. I want y'all to go watch it for yourselves. This match was a hoot. I got a kick out of this match. So, now, going forward, our next match is Juicy Finau, I believe is how you pronounce that, taking on the GCW World Champion, Ricky Shane Page. Now, Juicy Finau is somebody who I've heard of. For the first time, I believe I heard of him at the Collective, when the Collective was happening over the summer. But his star has really shot up here recently, and he's seemingly on a lot of radar. So I was really excited to see him in this match. Within, I'll say, about 2 minutes of this match, I followed Juicy Finau on Twitter. I see why everybody is on the Juicy Finau train. I'm now on it as well. All a fucking board. Holy shit. This dude is fantastic. Ricky Shane Page actually told a great story in this match by attacking the knee of Juicy Finau. His veteran prowess was on full display in this match. Even still though, Juicy Finau kept coming back. I believe commentary said Juicy was a year in, maybe less. To have a year or less in the business, and it doesn't happen often, but to have a year or less in this business and still be this entertaining, still be this fun, this dude is fucking awesome. He has a huge upside to him. With his look and his athleticism, I see nothing but a bright future for Juicy Finau. I really, God, man, that dude is, he's so good. And I don't even know how to say it. He's fucking good. Even after an extremely impressive second rope moonsault, Ricky Shane Page rolls up Juicy for the win. And I know Page won. But Finau fucking shined in this match. And like I said, I made sure to follow this man on Twitter just to make sure that I keep up with what he has going on. Juicy Finau, his star is on the rise. Juicy Finau is on a fucking rocket ship to the moon. Okay? Next up, we've got the main event. The match that I knew was coming. On this show, we have All Heart Blake Christian taking on Black Heart Lio Rush. Without knowing what any other of the other matches would be, I said that this match would be the match of the night for me. Their first encounter was the most talked about indie match when it happened. I did not see it, but it was People were talking about that fucking match for days after it happened. So I went into this match with the highest of hopes. And these two men did not disappoint. Let's just start at the beginning. Leo Rush's entrance. Phenomenal. I love that he put thought and effort into it and made it a spectacle. I also love that GCW kept the lights dimmed for this match. It was a fantastic production choice, in my opinion. I would have made a choice similar to that had I been in the production truck for that. There can be an argument for match of the night. That's typical. I'm not going to argue against anything that anybody says about this match in regards to match of the night, because this entire card was stacked and there were some fantastic matches on this show. Y'all have heard me now, where am I at? Almost 25 minutes in, and we're now at the main event, and y'all have heard me wax poetic about some of these matches. I'm not going to argue with you if you say Jacob Fatu and Matthew Justice had the match of the night. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I'm not going to argue with you at all. I'm not going to argue with you if you said Jordan Oliver and Chris Bay had match of the night, and that was just the first match on the card. I'm not going to argue with you. What I am going to say is that personally, this match was the match of the night for me. Let's throw the whole vibe aside. You know, I just talked about the lights being dimmed and things like that. Let's just push that aside for now. And let's consider the story. The effort that was put into this match via the promos leading up to this match. Leo Rush might be a creative genius. Leo Rush might be that once in a lifetime creative that we don't really appreciate for his creativity until after he's done with wrestling. He puts so much thought and so much effort into everything he does, not just this, but that man consistently, any promo, it can be a promo for his damn t-shirts, and that man puts some thought and effort and emotion into it. Leo Rush could probably sell water to a fish. He's fantastic. Throughout this match, there was almost like a Japanese-esque hush, you know. The crowd was quiet for this match, man. They wanted to cheer, but the vibe and the tone that these two men set in this match required silence. It required you to pay attention. I don't know if I've talked about it on here, but there are a few matches in the past couple of years that I have considered to be my favorite indie matches. They, to me, a great indie match makes you completely forget about your problems. It makes you forget everything, and you're just enthralled and focused on the match. There have been matches that I have watched that have been so good that I've forgotten that I was alive. I've forgotten to breathe, to think, to move. That's what those matches done for me. And that's what this match has done for me. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Hold me to it. No matter of fact, you ain't got to hold me to it. It's just going to be in my mind from here on out. Blake Christian versus Leo Rush at GCW Slime Season is my favorite independent wrestling match of all time. And I am willing to debate with anybody that this match is the match of 2020. If I really sat down and thought about it, this might be my favorite wrestling matches on any level of all time. What the kids say, no cap, that's, yeah, no cap. This might be, this match might be in the top three favorite wrestling matches of all time for Jordan McClain. And it ain't number three. I can tell you that now. This match, not number three. It's in my top three. It ain't number three. If I was the kind of wrestling journalist to rate matches 1 through 5 stars, you know how some people do that? If I was that kind of journalist, I would rate this match 100 stars. The storytelling before and during this match, the actual technicality and skill that went into this match, every breath, every moment, everything that went into this match was absolutely phenomenal. Bar none. This match set the tone and set the bar for independent wrestling, I think, for years to come. There will not be another match, I don't think, in the next few years that will top Lio Rush versus Blake Christian at GCW Slam Season. I was lucky enough to see Blake Christian wrestle for the first time a year ago at a local show that I was working at. And when I tell you guys, I was working the camera and working behind the scenes. I was doing a lot. So I did not really get to see this match until after I came back and was editing it and putting it together. The crowd of a little bit over 100 people when this match was done sounded like a full-blown fucking arena with chants of please come back for Blake Christian. To watch that match and then to watch him a year later, watch what he's been doing, watch what he's been accomplishing, and see him in this match, phenomenal. I said it a year ago and I'll say it again now. Whomever is smart enough to sign Blake Christian to an exclusive contract, their stock will rise. This match was history. This is a match that people will, years from now, look at and say, where were you when All Heart versus Black Heart took place at GCW Slime Season? I'm almost 30 minutes in, so I'm going to wrap this up. But I could probably wax poetic about this match more and more and more. I could probably talk about this match for an hour. Just the little things that went into this match. The storytelling, Leo's presentation, Blake Christian's reaction, him living up to his All Heart moniker and going into this thing with no fear and facing Leo head on. The storytelling, God, man. This match. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. Because I'm telling y'all, I can go on for days and days about this match. I could go for days about this card. The card itself was stacked. From top to bottom, every single match was great. Every match served a purpose and executed that purpose very well. It was one of those shows that you know took a lot of heart. You can see everybody who stepped into that ring, even the commentary team, the camera people. You can tell that a lot of love and a lot of heart went into putting this entire show together. And to cap it off with an amazing main event like that, it's like having the perfect cake and then putting the perfect icing on that cake. That's what I felt about this show. Like I said, as of me recording this, it's December the 10th that I'm recording this. As of me recording this, the show is available on GCW's YouTube page. If you have not seen it for whatever reason, if you do not watch any other independent wrestling show this year, watch GCW Slime Season. The perfect show I didn't think existed. GCW Slime Season came damn close to being the perfect show. Top to bottom, front to back, left to right. If perfect is a 100, GCW Slime Season is a 99. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're moving into the Brass Ring segment. For those who do not know, the Brass Ring segment is a segment that I do each and every week where I shine spotlight on a specific independent professional wrestler who I think has what it takes, if given the opportunity, to go to that mainstream level, if they so choose, to absolutely shine this week. It shouldn't come as a surprise, but I am choosing Sefa Fatu. I remember watching Sefa when right around the time he first started wrestling. For those who don't know, his brothers are the Usos in WWE. They are one of my favorite tag teams in WWE history. Probably my favorite if I really give it some thought. His father, Rikishi, is one of my favorite superstars from the Attitude Era. So to hear that he was going to be getting into wrestling, I was really excited. I've seen quite a few of his matches so far, including this one here on GCW Slime Season. And I think that Sefa, out of everyone in his family, and that's a lot of noticeable people, I think that Sefa has the opportunity and has all the tools to be a world champion in any mainstream organization. He has the look, he has the lineage, and more importantly, I think he has the attitude. If you see this guy in the ring, the Samoan dynasty are known for their aggression and known for, you know, being extremely athletic. I think that Sefa, honestly, in my opinion, takes it up a notch. There's something about his aggression. There's something about his athleticism. And there's something about his swagger whenever he gets into the ring, whenever he's on the screen, that just exudes champion. I think that he has the ability to surpass anyone in his family. I think that he has the ability to be that next big Samoan superstar when it comes to professional wrestling. I think that he is incredibly charismatic without even saying too much. And that's not an easy feat, to be charismatic without talking. But I believe that he has that. Like I said, his athleticism, I think, is off the charts. I think that he has probably one of the most beautiful splashes within his family. So I don't know what his goal is, but I think WWE, AEW, Impact, wherever, signing Sefa would be an absolute gold sign. So I think Sefa should get the brass ring. Alrighty, you guys, that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really enjoyed GCW Slime Season. I'm going to go out of my way to keep up with GCW shows. Y'all make sure y'all do the same. Give them a follow wherever you possibly can. Speaking of follow, be sure to follow the podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you're listening to it, hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never, ever, ever, ever miss one of my shows. Also, be sure to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Let's keep the conversation going about any and all wrestling if that's what you would like to do. Thank you guys so much for your support. I cannot say it enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support. And be sure, if you guys are sharing my stuff, if you have the ability to, be sure to tag me so that I can thank you personally. I like thanking people personally. So if you share it and you have me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, be sure to tag me in it so that I see it and I can give you a thank you directly. Again, thank you guys so much for all of your support. I'm out.